It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. After the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, police and protesters clashed in the streets, and in some cases, police brought armored vehicles and other military-grade equipment to the conflict. So should police departments receive excess gear from the military? What do you think of police responding to protests with mine-resistant vehicles? We're at 800-642-1234. Sarah Volpenhain is a core member with Report for America covering minority communities for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Sarah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We also have Nick Penzenstadler, who's a reporter for USA Today's investigative team. Nick, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Happy to be here.
Well, Nick, let's start with you. Give us more of a broader picture here. How much former military equipment is in the hands of our police departments since President Trump lifted Obama-era restrictions?
Yeah, so this program dates back to the 90s. And if you look at that window, there are about 8,000 agencies around the country that have requested this material, and it's about $6 billion worth of everything from planes and vehicles, helicopters, down to, you know, gloves and night vision goggles. And, you know, the history was after the Michael Brown shooting in Ferguson and the protests there, President Obama reined this program in a little bit and put some restrictions on it. And then in 2017, the Trump administration reversed that. So our study looked at since that timeline in 17, what has happened. And just since then, it's $450 million worth of gear that has flowed out to these agencies.
Sarah, give us a sense of what types of equipment have Wisconsin police agencies received through the Defense Department program?
Sure. So like Nick was saying, it can range from, you know, more mundane things like office supplies, first aid kits, things like that, to the more controversial items like mine-resistant armored protected vehicles or ambush protected vehicles or MRAPs, which, you know, were built for the battlefield to withstand IED explosions over in Iraq and Afghanistan. Also things like M16s and M14 rifles. So what we found was that Wisconsin law enforcement agencies have more than $45 million worth of surplus military equipment in their possession, and that about $28.7 million worth of that is in mine-resistant vehicles like MRAPs.
How much does each vehicle cost?
They range. On the high end, it's about $700,000 for some of the MRAPs. But then there's also some lighter tactical vehicles that can be from $300,000 to $400,000, something like that.
Nick, what is the process? Oh, go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to add, too, that usually the law enforcement agencies receive these at no cost or just the cost of shipping and transportation. So these are usually just transferred from the Department of Defense with, you know, very little cost to law enforcement agencies.
Nick, what is the protocol for receiving this equipment? How do these agencies ask for it? And is there some type of competition or bidding process, if you will?
It's more like a registry. So as a law enforcement agency, you have to sign up and be qualified through the program. And then there's almost like a catalog of what's available. And I talked to some police agencies that just stalk the program. If they want something, they look, you know, daily or weekly to see what's coming up, and then they put in their request for it, and then it's reviewed by the Pentagon, and then you get chosen, and they ship it out. So you basically get vetted, sign up, and then they ship it to you.
What has been the most common piece of equipment in Wisconsin that is procured through these agencies?
I would probably think that would be rifles. A lot of policing agencies request rifles. And usually it's the less expensive items that, you know, like rifles or other kinds of equipment that you see law enforcement agencies requesting. But in terms of price, if you look purely at the value of the equipment, the most in dollar figures that is requested from law enforcement agencies are those mine-resistant vehicles.
We're talking about police using surplus military gear. Sarah Volpenhayn is here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Nick Penzenstadler from USA Today. You can join in. How do you feel about police officers arriving at protests with armored vehicles? What do you think of military equipment transfers? Join in 800-642-1234. Sarah, how have Wisconsin law enforcement used this equipment during the most recent protests?
Sure. So this kind of heavy equipment was spotted on Milwaukee streets during the protests sparked by the killing of George Floyd. Now, it's worth mentioning that the Milwaukee Police Department and the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office do not have a mine-resistant vehicle through this program. But a lot of nearby police agencies do, like the Waukesha Police Department, West Allis, Greenfield, as well as the Racine County Sheriff's Office. And those agencies provided mine-resistant vehicles when they were assisting in the response to the protests that were going on. And, you know, law enforcement, when you talk to them, they point to the, you know, volatility, especially in the early days of the protests. You know, an officer was shot at one point. You know, businesses were looted or burned, and people were kind of driving recklessly through the streets during those early days. But critics, you know, say that this kind of equipment is too militarized, that, you know, it's being deployed against everyday citizens, that, you know, this is exactly what protesters are protesting against in the first place, is overreaction or over response by the police. And, you know, they say this type of equipment often leads to escalation and doesn't help to de-escalate the situation or to inspire, you know, trust in the police.
Nick, what have you heard from the police departments you've talked with about why they go after this equipment?
Well, I mean, obviously they see it as a cost-saving measure. And, you know, they say at a time when they're stretched thin, this is only going to help with equipment and the capital investment that they would otherwise be putting into a municipal budget. And then, you know, you talk to some of these small-town agencies that say, you know, we face the same threat oftentimes as some of the bigger, more well-funded police agencies. And when we have a barricaded subject or a subject who's threatening our officers, you know, we want to have some type of cover or have the type of equipment that we can match, you know, what we're up against. So they only see the plus sides of it, you know, but there is obviously the concern about how it looks and what message they're sending to the community. So I think you're seeing some of those agencies reconsider how they use them and in what situation they use them in, and if there is community buy-in to what they're doing.
Nick, how transparent are they about their acquisitions past and present?
Well, it's a public record for anybody like us who wants to go see. And when you do call to confirm, they're pretty open about, you know, yes, we requested this, or no, we sent it back. And one of the pieces that the Obama administration put in was to get approval from local like oversight boards if you were going to get some of these more restricted items. And although that had been changed in the most recent iteration in 2017, a lot of agencies we found still do that. So if a community is looking at getting one of these mine-resistant trucks, they'll often put it on their agenda for the city council to at least weigh in and consider it and maybe have that discussion. So I know that was one of the reforms that I think people thought was pretty measured and worthwhile.
And you talked with the police chief in Superior who returned their mine-resistant armored vehicle.
Yeah, Chief Alexander told us that, you know, in 2018 when he took over, I think he just decided that, one, it was too big. A lot of times these agencies say these giant hulking diesel trucks just are a lot to manage. They're more than they need. And there are, you know, tactical trucks that are built for police. So he traded up for this more like a Bearcat, it's called. That's also armored, but not quite as big. And he also said, you know, they're sensitive to what the community feels that they need. And Superior, Wisconsin, you know, decided they did not need a mine-resistant truck.
Sarah, how have people that you've talked to responded to their local police departments receiving this equipment?
Well, for this story, I talked to the ACLU, who, you know, says that this is, you know, scary and intimidating to people to, you know, see a police officer armed with a rifle, you know, popping out of the hatch of an MRAP while they're protesting. Obviously, they're going to have a much more critical view of this. That's the view that I heard from at least the ACLU.
Mm-hmm. Nick, take us to Capitol Hill. I understand, you know, House and Senate Democrats are looking to limit this military surplus program. What do they have their sights set on?
Yeah, so they have introduced, as part of their policing reform bill, a pretty much complete ban on these transfers. It's interesting talking to former military folks. They say that, you know, from the military's perspective, this is probably more of a headache than it's worth. And it also represents a really small fraction of what the U.S. has in surplus equipment. And, I think they do it because the police like it, and it's definitely a public relations type piece, but they'd rather scrap it too. So, you know, as you mentioned, there is a bill pending in Congress to do away with this altogether. But we already talked to, you know, the nation's leading police union, who would oppose this piece of reform, of all of the reforms being introduced, including, you know, banning chokeholds and this registry of bad cops. This particular prong is one thing that police don't want to see go away.
Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Sarah Volpenhayn is a core member with Report for America, covering minority communities for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Nick Penzenstadler, reporter for USA Today's investigative team. Coming up, we hear about the return of Northwood League baseball in 5 Wisconsin communities this week. That's after in just a moment here on the Ideas Network.